the worship team a round of applause. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, love. It is an awesome time. I'm glad we have this day set aside to we get to reflect, we get to celebrate, we get to honor mothers and all that mothers do and provide for the family. It's such a task. It really is. Man, I was saying in the first service that God was just masterful when he designed women. No amens to that, guys? He was masterful, man. It is amazing to me that the strength of being able to bear children, and the ability to love and to nurture and to care for those beings, and also the ability to multitask. I mean, there's just this. God designed women to do so much. They're just these incredible, incredible beings that beautifully complement us as men. They're a beautiful complement to us. So today we're not honoring just mothers. We're honoring all women as well. And we're also honoring God for creating them. That's what we're here to do today. And before I forget, at the back table, all of you women in this room, please do not leave without stopping at the table in the back and receiving just a nice little gift from the church. So I hope you're blessed by that. Today, we're going to start a new sermon series. And the series is entitled Family Strong. So what we're going to be looking at over the course of the next few weeks is becoming really familiar with God's passion for the family. And his design for the family, because God designed family, and he designed it for a purpose, and we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at what that looks like. I don't think it's breaking news to anybody in this room, but family can be really tough. There are some dynamics within the covenant of family that create some of the most difficult challenges in life, right? Aren't there? And so throughout the series, we're going to see that the design for family, that there's no guarantee that there's going to be a smooth ride for anybody, but rather that within the covenant bond of family, that we're going to go through some of the most important and life-changing sanctification work in our lives when we deal with family. And so what we're going to do is we are going to yield to that together as a church. We're going to yield to that and allow God to do the work that he wants to do inside of us in our relationship with our family. You see, God's design for the family not only is to shape us and to mold us and to transform us, but we also get out of relating to one another in family, we understand how God then relates to us. There's an understanding that we develop from that. And I want to say this, that the family unit that you are in is the exact perfect fit for you. I absolutely, truly believe that the family unit that you have is the exact, unique, perfect fit for you and for the shaping that God wants to do in your life. And so what we're going to do is our responsibility is to yield to allow the Lord to do that work in our lives. And so that's what we're going to do. Amen? Amen. Psalm 128, if you have your Bibles and you would like to turn with me there. Psalm chapter 128. I'm going to read it all first, and then we will just break it down. All right? Starts out by saying this. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Beautiful, right there. Blessed are you if you fear the Lord. Blessed are you if you walk in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. There are those of you who were last week that is very... It's in relationship with last week, wasn't it, about the fear of God, and that the blessings of God, the goodness of God, the best that God has to offer will be poured out upon your life as you fear him. In verse 3, it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And may you see your children's children. Peace be upon the family of God, Israel. Amen. One of the things that I really love about when I'm just looking at this scripture and reading it is we get a picture of who the ultimate head of the household is. And that is our Father in heaven. He is the true head of the household. And everything that our family, all the dynamics within our relationships with our family should filter from the fact that we have this awesome, loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving, compassionate Father who extends all that to us. And so when we recognize that, we recognize that He is the true head of the household. And the emphasis here in the psalm is also about a household that fears the Lord. Do you notice that? It's a household that fears the Lord. And it goes on to say that if you fear the Lord, the one that fears the Lord will experience the best that He has to offer in your life. To fear the Lord. And for those of you who were not here last week, the message was about the fear of the Lord and what that looks like. To fear the Lord is not to be terrified and running away from God in fear, but it's to run towards Him. The fear of God actually runs towards Him. The fear of God actually looks at who God is and what He's capable of doing and say, God, I'm all yours. You are who you are, and you're capable of doing what you're doing. My life is yours now. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. It's to have an awesome respect and awe for who God is and what He has done that you say, God, my life is yours. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's to walk in His ways because of who He is and who He has been in this world. And so it's such a simple but yet life-changing instruction that God gives us to fear the Lord. But in this passage, we're not commanded to fear the Lord. But we see in this passage, we see that this is the fruit that is the result of fearing the Lord. This is the outcome. This is the result of what it looks like when our families have a fear of the Lord together, when our households fear the Lord. This is what it's like. God's blessing in the family is based on the fear of the Lord. If you want a satisfying home in your house, if you want a fulfilling, peaceful family unit and dynamic in your family, fear the Lord. And encourage others to fear the Lord in your family. Teach your children to fear the Lord. If you want the satisfying home, which we all crave, it's founded upon our fear of the Lord. It's founded upon our fear of the Lord. And so what we see in the psalm is that the author uses these similes. He uses imagery to express what the blessings of a righteous family will look like. And he mentions two plants. Now, these are no ordinary plants. Right? These are two essential botanical plants in the nation of Israel. They're staples of the product and the land that God has given to the nation of Israel at this time. And anyone who would have heard this psalm would have known how essential these two plants are. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we learn that these two plants, the vine and the olive tree that were mentioned in the psalm, are two of the seven species that God was blessing the nation of Israel in the land of His promise, right? So when in Deuteronomy chapter 8, they're going into the promised land, and He's telling them what kind of land it's going to be. It's going to be a land flowing with milk. It's going to be a land flowing with honey and barley. And then He mentions some other things, and He mentions the vine, and He mentions the olive tree. And these are essential staples in the family of God. And so that's why they're not insignificant details at all. When you come across things like that you don't understand, let that be just a marker to be like, okay, I need to find out what that means. Why is that used there? Why is that kind of tree or that image or that picture being used? And so they're not insignificant details at all. So let's take a little bit deeper look. Because God was very intentional about inspiring the author to use these images right here for these pictures. And in verse 3, he says, he goes on, he talks about how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, everyone who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor and of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Beautiful. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in your house, in your family. Everybody's like, okay. It's fantastic, a fruitful vine. But did you know in Scripture that the fruit of the vine in the Scripture is associated with bringing joy and gladness, both to God and to mankind? That it's written there in Scripture multiple times that the fruit of the vine is the fruit that is associated with bringing joy and gladness. And so your wife will be a fruitful vine within your house is a picture that points to the joy this woman brings to her family. And so you may not have ever thought about that before, that gladness and godliness going hand in hand and being compatible with one another, but they absolutely are. When you as women in this church, and you as children and daughters of the living God, when you fear him, and when you live righteously in your household and you model that, you are a vine that brings joy and gladness to your house. A godly woman is one who fears the Lord. And then the product of that comes forth that a woman will bring joy and gladness to the home. In other words, she will naturally make sure that her home is an enjoyable place to be. Naturally, that'll be the byproduct of a woman who fears the Lord, is that your house will be an enjoyable place to be. It's a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. The author goes on and he includes the image of this olive tree. Now, olive trees are known for their longevity. It is believed that olive trees can reach a lifespan of thousands of years. 1,000, maybe 2,000 years. All right? Nobody's really around to see it. But it's said to believe that they're to last for about 1,000 years. Now, these are trees that just radiate with beauty. Have you ever seen an olive tree? Have you ever seen pictures of Jerusalem and Israel and seen olive trees and the garden? And all, they're just beautiful trees that just have luscious fruit, especially when the fruit and the olive is just coming forth. It's just a beautiful picture. And so what's important for us to recognize is that the author here is not describing these trees as mature trees. He's saying your children are going to be like shoots of an olive tree. Little tiny shoots that stick out the bottom. You know what I mean by a shoot? You're familiar with a shoot? At the bottom, at the base of a tree, there'll be these shoots that come out. They're like little extra growths that come out of the mature olive tree, or any tree, really. A lot of trees. And these shoots will just come up, right? And so the image here is that these little shoots are going to grow to be a mature olive tree one day. That someday they are going to actually replace the parent tree, and they're going to continue to bear fruit long after the parent tree has gone on. And so we see a couple things in this picture as we're talking about the family dynamic and how our role as in family dynamics are supposed to be. The first thing we see is that we have to understand that children are still developing and they're not perfect. Children are still developing, and they're not perfect. They have the potential for fruitfulness, but they're not there yet fully. And what they need, and what I want you to grab a hold of this morning, is that our children that we have, that God has placed in our care, they need time to develop and mature within the nourishing soil of a God-fearing home. Our children that God has given us need time to develop and mature in the nourishing soil of a God-fearing home. So what that looks like practically is that, look, our children need to be allowed to make mistakes. Our children need to be allowed to make mistakes without being rejected by the parents, right? They really do. Because why? Why? It's because that's how our Father relates to us, isn't it? And we, each and every one of us in this room, makes mistakes all the time, massive mistakes. But we're not rejected by our Father. We're not rejected. We're embraced. We're loved. We're cared for. We're nurtured. We're helped through it. We're taught through it. We learn through it. And so our kids, our children, they need grace and they need space to be allowed to develop according to their unique God-given desires. The second thing that we see about this olive shoots are that our children require nurture, don't they? They require nurture. They require care. They require patience. And so you can see how the family unit that God designed and the way that he wants things to operate is a platform or is an arena of which you and I are being shaped and molded and transformed into the Christ-likeness, into the image of God, right? We're taking on his nature, we're taking on his character as we then choose to act in this way and show our kids nurture and care and patience and grace when they make mistakes. That's the picture that the author is using here. A tree doesn't bear fruit overnight, right? As a matter of fact, these specific and particular olive trees that are being mentioned here, these trees take 16 to 18 years, which I found pretty interesting, before they start to bear fruit. 16 to 18 years. They need to be nurtured. They need to be protected. 16 to 18 years, they need to be weeded and watered and fed before there is fruit that comes forth from these little shoots. And that's the picture here. Children being nurtured towards fruitfulness as they mature in years. And that's what I believe the author wants to describe here, the rich blessing found within the family structure that God has designed. The symbol of this olive shoot, it gets completed as he mentions this phrase of how these olive shoots will be around your table. That's kind of a silly image, isn't it? There's going to be olive shoots. Your kids are going to be like olive shoots around your table. That's silly. It's kind of, but the imagery here, I believe the author is trying to symbolize is that this is reminiscent of members of a family of a righteous, and they stay together around one table, right? And you just picture these kids around your table, and so you have this image here of beautiful communion with your kids, and of a house that's at peace, a house that's in harmony with one another. And so these images that the Scripture gives us are so important for us because this is the outcome. This is what it would look like. This is the result of us being diligently and faithfully saying to God, thank you, God, for putting me in this unique family that you have put me in. And I'm going to commit myself to it. I'm going to yield myself to your work in that. I'm going to yield to what you want to do in that. And this is the result of investing and caring for your family. This is the result. It will result in enjoyable and lasting fruit in your life. If you're faithful and diligent to invest and to impart into your family, it will result in enjoyable and lasting fruit in your life. It is a blessing from God for those who fear Him. It is a blessing of God from those who fear Him. Now, when we talk about investment, we know what that really means, doesn't it? It means to sacrifice something now so that you can reap a harvest later. And so if you're investing in your financial plan later in life, you're sacrificing money that you could be spending now and enjoying now for something so that you can be able to feed yourself in 20 years' time or however long time that is, right? That investment that we make, it means to sacrifice now in order to reap a harvest later. And that exact same principle is congruent exactly with Scripture. When we invest the time and we invest the effort and the emotional energy that is required to build a strong, godly family. Did you know that you have emotional energy? I was saying to the first service, I didn't realize I had emotional energy until it was all gone, and I was just depleted of emotional energy. This is what we invest. This is what we sacrifice. This is what we pour into our loved ones and our family. And all the while we're doing that, we're yielding to what God wants to do in us. And in that moment, in that arena of the family dynamic, when you're loving for one another and caring for one another and extending grace to one another and mercy and forgiveness to one another, there is a shaping and a molding that is taking place in your heart that God has designed for you. Unique specifically for you. It's a beautiful picture. It really is. That we would each of us give, it gives us reason to persevere and not grow weary in doing good, right? Because we all know how difficult it is, family. Family is difficult at times. It is one of the most challenging dynamics in all of life, relating to your family. But this gives us so much hope here that this is what it could look like. This is what the fruit of a family and a household that fears the Lord. This is what it looks like. This is incredible truth. And this is the truth that each generation would have spoken to the next generation. And this is how God has sustained his family's units over generation after generation after generation after generation. Hey, it's based on a household that fears the Lord. And if you fear the Lord in your household, then man, the goodness of God is just going to be poured out upon your family. You're going to experience such enjoyable fruit as you fear him. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. God values family, guys. God values family. It's through the family unit that God chooses to develop each and every generation. It's a high responsibility that we have in our families. It's of highest priority. It must be of highest priority. Why? Because the whole dynamic of a family unit is about the formation of our spirit. God is forming in us. And so when we think about just how God is forming our children, you don't realize our children right now, their foundations of faith are getting laid through the everyday interactions that we have as a family. And my children, their foundations of faith and what they believe of God and what they see of God and how God relates to them, they are getting that foundation laid through everyday interaction with me and my wife and themselves together. And that's why we have to have take this so seriously, that this is such a high priority. And he calls us to parent these kids, and he calls us to love them unconditionally and to be responsible to this faith journey, understanding that they are on a faith journey themselves, but also at the same time understanding, hey, I'm on this faith journey still too. And God is still forming in me. God is still forming his spirit in me. And so it's okay if I make mistakes, and I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes with my kids a lot of times. But I also understand that I am on this faith journey as well, and that God is shaping me and molding me. And so what my kids need to see is that I am not perfect, but that I absolutely am in desperate need of a Savior in my life every day, so that I won't make that mistake next time. So he calls us to parent our kids and to love our wives and to just be in this family arena in such a way where we are allowing ourselves to be changed as we are living the way he wants us to live. The family unit was designed to form you. It was designed to shape you. It was designed to be a beautiful work of sanctification in your life as you yield to the Lord. But you have to yield to the Lord. There has to be a fear of the Lord that says, God, I want to so badly do it my way, but your way is so much better, and I want your way to be expressed in my life. I want my kids to understand what a peaceful household looks like. I want my kids to know what it means to have love and respect, and I want my kids to know that I give them room and grace when they make mistakes, and I want them to recognize this. I want them to sense this. I want them to form a beautiful image of who you are, God, because of the responsibility that you have given me. And so each and every one of us in our households, we are called to fear the Lord, to yield to the Lord and say, God, do what you want to do in me. I want to handle the situation the way that you want me to handle the situation. That's what it means to fear the Lord. That's what it means to walk in his ways as it started out in Psalm 128 started out. That's what it means. God, I don't want to handle this way or my way, even though I do often, and I'm sure all of you do often as well, right? I don't want to do that. And so you submit that to the Lord and say, God, okay, I messed up and I don't want to do that anymore. I need your help in my life right now so that I can show my kids what grace looks like, so I can show them what peace looks like in my family, so that I can show them what kindness and love and respect looks like. The respect that I want them to have for me, I have to show to them. Because respect is something that is earned. It's not something that is given. Isn't that right? It's something that we earn. I want my kids to respect me. It's not demanded of me because I am their parent. No, I need to demonstrate to them what it looks like to respect someone else, what it looks like to respect them. So I want this for my kids. I want this to happen. And so the family unit is a beautiful platform where God designed to form us and shape us and create us in the nature and character of Christ as we yield our lives to him in our fear for him. Liz, would you join me up on stage, please, darling? My beautiful wife. From birth to your own childhood to adulthood, and then having children of your own and then having grandchildren, this is a journey of spiritual formation that is of the utmost importance to God. I'm going to say that again. From your birth through to your childhood and into adulthood, into your then having children of your own and then their grandchildren, the family dynamic is one that is about the journey of spiritual formation that is of utmost importance to God. All throughout Scripture, we see the narrative of the family of God taking place. From Genesis 1, he creates man, he creates woman, he begins family. At the end of the book of Revelation, God is united with his kids, his family. And we're all at home, and we're all sitting around the table. That's what the image in Revelation is. We're all coming to a table, and we're going to have this awesome feast together. It's going to be fantastic. And so the entire narrative of the gospel takes us from God creating a family, establishing his family, and then at the very end of Revelation, it's the culmination of that family coming together around a table in harmony and peace and love for one another. It's fantastic. And all the pages in between Genesis 1 and Revelation, at the end of Revelation, is a narrative of God's family turning their back on him over and over again, right? And what does God do? He shows them love and he shows them compassion. He shows them protection. He guides them. He disciplines them in love. He extends them forgiveness. And then he extends them grace. And he cares for them and he provides for them. And they receive that. And then what do? They turn their backs on their dad, on their family, on God. And then they come back to him and then they come back to him and he's still the same God. He doesn't change. He's still the same God. He does have to correct them over and over again so that they learn a lesson. But he's disciplining them in love because he loves them. He's trying to, their God was up to something so much bigger. The big story. If you could just pan out and zoom out and see what God's big story was from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation and where we sit right in the middle of that, God is recalling his family to himself. He's restored his family through the blood of Christ. And says, now everything that has separated us, you can come back in my house now. You can be in my family forever. I'm going to extend you grace. Yeah, you turned your back on me. You were rebellious and you were selfish in your own ways. But I love you, man. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. Come on. The family that God created was created to belong to him forever. And that family, and throughout Scripture, fell on hard times and they turned their back and they rebelled. And it's this awesome, awesome picture of God just coming back and still being there for his family as he's still there for you and I every single day. And we see the most beautiful model of nurture and care and love and grace and forgiveness. And you know what he does now? And now that we're in the New Testament and we're on this other side of the resurrection, the beautiful thing is that God even gives you himself. He invested himself into you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He actually gave of himself. He sacrificed himself so that he could reap the reward later. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that was set before him was to have you guys in eternal communion with God forever, man. So cool. So he sacrificed himself and he invested into you and he's still investing into you through the Holy Spirit. He restored that relationship and he gives you everything you need to live the life that he designed for you to live. That's good news. That's good news. That's who we are today. And that's why this series is going to be emphasizing a priority of the family, because it is so essential. I heard it once said that the strength of a nation is in direct proportion to the strength of its families. The strength of a nation is in direct proportion to the strength of its families. And I did a lot of research on this, and it absolutely supports this. It absolutely 100% supports this. And you can't help but wonder that if the reason our society is weakening in so many areas is because our family units have not been prioritized. They haven't been prioritized. When the going gets tough, a lot of dads take off. My dad did that. I was 3 months old. It got too hard. And so our society is weakening in so many areas right now because family is not prioritized. God has called us to be different. He's called us who call upon him as our Father to live differently. And so we, as a church, are going to prioritize our families. We're going to make it a focus. We're going to make it intentional. And it all begins with each and every one of us yielding to the Lord and saying, okay, God, the only way that this family is going to look the way you want it to look like is if I yield to you again today. And then the next 5 minutes after my kids are testing my patience again. And the next 5 minutes after that. A constant yielding before the Lord. And I don't know about you, though, but I want to see this trend break in our society. I want to see, what if it's with this generation? that this trend is broken, right? I want my children and their children and their children to grow up in the blessings of a nation that honors and fears God in this way. I really do. I want my kid to experience these blessings of enjoying life the way that God designed it. And like I said, it first starts with each and every one of us choosing right now in this moment to say, God, not my way, but your way be done through me. And how I relate to my wife, and how you relate to your husband, and how I relate to my children, and how I teach them to relate to other people, and how I relate to my parents and my mother who's older now, and my sisters, and now that we're full, mature olive trees, that the family dynamic takes on different shapes, and you start to really understand one another. You start to really understand some of the things in your family that were just not so great, and that's gracious. That's God's grace allowing us to see that so we don't make those same mistakes. But you know what? We're all going to still make mistakes. It's going to happen. We're going to make mistakes. It's okay. Maybe I won't say this today. I'll save that for a sermon in a couple weeks.
What are you talking about?
All right, here. All right, I'll say it right now. Okay, all right. Sorry. Someone once said to me, these are the most freeing words that I've ever heard. You know what I'm going to say? Oh, she doesn't know. And it's a very close friend of ours, and who is helping us in our family, in our marriage. And you know, I was just honest, and I was like, you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm screwing up my kids, that I'm just making a mess. I feel like I'm just creating a mess, and that it's my doing, that I'm just making a mess. And, you know, these are the most freeing words I've ever had. She looked me square in the eye, and she says, you are. And that's okay, because your parents screwed up with you, and their parents screwed up with them, and their parents screwed up with them, and their parents screwed up with them, and their parents screwed up with them. And I was just, there's this freedom, and I hope you're not offended by that. That's why I was hesitant to say it. But maybe it could have been phrased differently, and that's why I was hesitant. But there's something just freeing about that. But then she followed it up with this. The only way that it's a complete screw-up is if you don't mend what's screwed up. That if you feel like you're damaging your children, the only way that it's actually going to be damaging is if you don't go back to them and say and repair that damage. Does that make sense? If you don't humble yourself before your children or before your husband or before your wife or before your mother or before your father, if you don't humble yourself before them and say, man, I was wrong, and I'm sorry I was wrong. What I did was wrong to you, and I really could need your forgiveness right now. I'm really sorry. You know what? Your kids need to see that in you. Your husband needs to see that in you. Your wife needs to see that in you. Your parents need to see. There needs to be just this absolute humility before the Lord all times in every relationship that you have in your family. And that's what it means to fear the Lord. Humbly before God. And it starts inside each and every one of our homes. And it starts, when I say homes, I mean it starts inside of each and every one of our homes. Right here. Starts right here. Each household of God is determined to invest wholeheartedly in the strength and health of the family. And the truth of the gospel this morning is that the blessings of God will shower upon your homes as you live every day in reverent humility before Him and as you yield to Him. And you know, when you live a life that's walking His ways, and when you live a life that's yielded to Him and surrendered to Him and says, God, I want to do it your ways, when you're constantly in that state of yielded before the Lord, you're attuned to the way you should be doing things rather than the way you want to do things, the way that's easier and comes out of your natural being, where that's what messes things up. When I lash out, that messes things up. Or when I stop and I say, God, I want to lash out right now, but I want to handle this the way you want me to handle this. And then the peace just floods your soul. And then you're able to handle it the way that God wants you to handle it. That's fear of the Lord. And that, investing in that every day, is what we are called to do. It's what God has put before us as his people. We're here to live differently. Families in Delaware County are going to start to look different. Amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage you today that the investment of building God's family, his family, the investment of building the family that he has put you in is one that will never, ever, ever, you will regret. You will never regret it. I absolutely can. I believe. Would you stand with me as we finish out this morning? And let's just in this moment, like we do a lot of our messages, we're just going to yield ourselves to God again. Give him ourselves today. We got a week ahead of us, and this week is going to be filled with challenges in your family. I know it's going to be filled with challenges in my family. That's just a given. It's hard. It's difficult. That's why we need a Savior. And you know what? Your kids need to see that too. Your husband needs to see that. Your wife needs to see that. That yes, this is hard, and this is why I need Jesus in my life every single day. If I could leave one thing behind, if my kids recognize one thing from me, if they take away one thing from being in my household, it's that, man, my daddy needed Jesus in his life. That's it. I'd be happy with that if they recognized that I needed a Savior each and every day of my life. So let's just bow our heads and offer ourselves to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible, beautiful dynamic of family that you have created, God, and you've designed it for such an incredible purpose. Lord, we see all throughout Scripture the unfolding of this narrative of your family coming into relationship and being restored to you. And Lord, you show us what it looks like to be in a perfect family and the fruit and the blessings of that family. And so, Lord, we give ourselves to you today and we say, we need your help. In every area, in every dynamic of our family, whether it's with our siblings, whether it's with our mother and our father, our stepfather, a boyfriend of our parents, or my children, whatever it is, whatever you're calling us to, God, and whatever you've placed in our lives, the uniqueness of the family dynamic that we have, God, we surrender ourselves to you, and we say, God, your way, not our way. Your way, not our way, because more than anything, God, we want to see our families blessed. We want to see your blessing, the best that you have to offer, the best that you give out. We want our families to experience it on a daily basis. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you again as your people. And from this day forward, make a commitment to prioritizing our families and demonstrating the family dynamic that you want us to look at, the way that you designed for us to do, and the purpose that you want to. So, Lord, we're free. You are free to shape us. You are free to transform us. You're free to mold us exactly in the way that you want us to. We give you all authority in our lives. You are the Lord of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you guys. Hope you have an incredible week. Please, ladies, do not forget, there's a table in the back. Do not leave here without getting a gift from Cornerstone. God bless you guys. We'll see you. There's no fellowship after the second service right now. Go spend time with your families and your mothers. God bless you all.